People of God, look about and see the faces of those we know and love. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we hardly know.
Strangers, sojourners, forgotten friends, the ones who need an outstretched hand.
People of God, look about you and see all the images of God assembled here.
In me, in you, in each of us, God's Spirit shines for all to see.
People of God, come.
Let us worship together.
Amen.
Answer, yes, sir, and no.
Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we're members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints.
Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Good morning. I'm happy to welcome our chapel speaker today. Sarah Ann Bixler is a candidate for the seminary's Christian Formation and Practical Theology faculty position. We welcome your feedback after this, after chapel. Sarah is no stranger to EMU. She earned her undergraduate degree here in English secondary education with minors in mathematics and music. She completed an MDiv at Princeton Theological Seminary with an emphasis on formation and education, and stayed on at Princeton, where she is just a little dissertation short of a PhD in practical theology. Her dissertation proposal is titled "Adolescent Belonging Through Spiritual Friendship in Congregations." Sarah's areas of interest include Christian education and congregation, faith formation across the lifespan, missional leadership, and pedagogical practice. Her publications include Reframing the Selfie in the Journal of Youth and Theology, and Guess the Metaphor, Visual Representations of Conceptual Relationships, which is forthcoming in Teaching Theology and Religion. Her titles for popular audiences include, and I just picked out a few, Church Be Nimble, Staying Relevant in a Changing Neighborhood, Women's Practices That Bind Us Together, and It Matters How We Disagree, How to Do Nonviolent Communications in a Peace Church. She is teaching Formation in God's Story 1 and 2 for our seminary in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, this year, as we speak even, and has taught numerous courses at Princeton. She has served in the trenches, as it were, as an associate RD here at EMU, that's resident director, and a language arts teacher at Eastern Mennonite School, a youth minister at Zion Mennonite, curriculum writer for the Brethren Press, and conference coordinator with the Virginia Mennonite Conference. Please welcome Sarah Bixler.
It's an honor to be here to preach in chapel this morning and to be in this position as a candidate for the faculty position in Formation and Practical Theology. Thank you all for coming this morning. My own formation has been impacted significantly by this institution. I took courses here as an undergraduate student that helped to form and clarify my faith and grounded me in the Anabaptist Mennonite tradition. But the school's impact on my formation goes even beyond that. My grandmother attended winter Bible schools here in the 1940s. As a young woman from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, who had to beg her father to let her finish high school. My father earned his MDiv here in the 70s. My husband, Ben, graduated from EMS about 6 years ago. And it's my privilege to teach at the Lancaster campus in formation courses. This is all an important part of my own formation in my faith and as a person. So it's such a pleasure to be here with you this morning. The passage read by Carmen and Steve comes from Romans chapter 12. The way I asked them to read the passage splits it into two sections at verse 13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. This verse could be seen as a pivot point between Paul's instructions to believers as how they should act toward one another within the church, and after verse 13, how they should treat people who are outside of the church. The first aspect, the inner life of the church, is what I'm calling, just a minute, formation. And the second part, the interaction beyond the church, is what I'm calling witness. Okay, those words were written there, but it's not showing up correctly. You can imagine. In the first section of Romans chapter 12, Paul seeks to form the Christian community in things like friendship, trust, non-coercion, mutual regard. He emphasizes humility, consideration for others, honoring the diversity of spiritual gifts, and associating with people across socioeconomic divides. After verse 13, Paul also looks outward. Bless the persecutor. Feed the enemy who is hungry. Live peaceably with all as far as it depends on you. Do not take vengeance. Seek reconciliation. An imbalance between these two teachings, formation and witness, can be problematic. Consider, for instance, a focus on witness instead of formation. I have seen this occur sometimes within the larger church when a missional emphasis on evangelism and church planting, which I care very much about, is used to distract from conflict or tension within the church. The energy is externalized, but the tension does not go away. In his book on church planting, the Anabaptist writer Stuart Murray warns, if church planting is an attempt to avert attention from unresolved issues, it can cause serious relational and institutional damage. And I say this as someone who has participated in planting a church, and I'm glad that I did. The inner life of the church, after all, is a witness to the world. People question the integrity of a peace church's witness when its own members cannot bear to be with one another. It's equally a problem to focus on formation instead of witness. We see this in historical periods of Mennonite withdrawal into isolated and confined communities. I come from some of these people. I think this is why so many Anabaptist Mennonites have been excited about missional theology. It has helped us to move beyond an inward focus. It reminds us that although the church is not to be conformed to the world, it exists for the world. Neither emphasis should come at the expense of the other. They are both important. So I offer to you a metaphor, the metaphor of the Möbius strip. The Möbius strip is a mathematical puzzle because it is an object that can't be oriented. It is a surface with only one side. It can't be oriented up or down, back or front, right side or left side. You can trace your finger along its single surface forever without ever coming to an edge. This is why the design is sometimes used for more practical situations like engine belts and old-fashioned typewriter ribbons, because it keeps the wear even. I see that some of you have already figured out how to make the Möbius strip. If you haven't yet, let's do that now with the paper that you picked up from the table on your way in. You'll notice that one end of it is sticky. So first of all, hold the paper flat. You'll see I wrote formation and witness on either side just to emphasize this. So what you do is you take the non-sticky side, works a little better, take the non-sticky end and twist it over, like a half a turn. Just twist it over. And then, keeping it like that, bring those two ends together and press them so that they stick. And I encourage you to be a little distracted while I'm talking for the rest of this message, because it's teaching the point that I'm talking about. So just start with your finger on one side. You'll come across one of the words, witness or formation. Keep moving your finger along, and you get to the other one without ever going to the other side of the paper. I got this idea from Parker Palmer. He talks about life on the Möbius strip to illustrate the integration between a person's inner and outer life. He says the message of the Möbius strip is that there is no inner or outer surface. The two co-create each other. So I've entitled my message, Church on the Möbius Strip, to illustrate this integral relationship between the church's inner and outer lives, between its formation and witness. And this is what I believe it means to have missional integrity. Let me talk just a little bit about this word, missional. I've had the honor of working closely on some initiatives at Princeton Seminary with Daryl Guder, who's regarded as the father of missional theology. As you may know from his work or perhaps his visit here on campus a few years ago, that Guder offers a vision for missional theology for the church in North America. Missional theology arose within about the past 20 years among white mainline Protestants as a critique of Western Christendom. It aims to correct narrow definitions of mission that range from understanding mission as just one of many programs of the church to, in its worst form, mission as colonialism, when white missionaries imposed their culture on a people group in order to give them the gospel. Not all Christian communities in North America have needed this correction of missional theology. Some have maintained better integrity all along. But Guder calls for a biblically based understanding of the church's mission that has integrity in its being, saying, and doing of the gospel. The gospel, Jesus' good news of liberation, justice, reconciliation, and peace, is for the formation of the Christian community and for its active witness in the world. Those of us in the church, as Romans 12, verse 2 tells us, are in need of transformation just as much as those who do not happen to be part of the church. In Romans, Paul critiques both the practices of the world and of the faith community. Thinking about the church on the Mobius Strip illustrates this integration of the inner formation of the Christian community and its outward witness. The words integration and integrity come from the same Latin root, integer, meaning whole. The church can practice wholeness in its formation and witness when these are part of an unorientable whole, like our Mobius Strip. This is missional integrity. Now, when we take a closer look at Romans chapter 12, we find that the dividing line, as I've set it out, between formation and witness is not so rigid, like drawing a line at the middle of verse 13. Paul moves rather fluidly between the two ideas, kind of like an unorientable surface. Some of the very same ideas appear on both sides of verse 13, such as not thinking of yourself more highly or as more wisely than you are, hating what is evil, overcoming evil with good, and rejoicing, patience in suffering, and weeping with those who weep. We might say that Paul regards formation and witness as an integrated whole. When we consider Jesus' ministry, we find that he does the same thing. Jesus cultivated a formational community among his 12 apostles and other close companions like Lazarus, Mary and Martha, Mary Magdalene. This was their primary place of belonging, support, and accountability where they could grow in faith, practice forgiveness, and interpret scripture. But Jesus did not isolate his disciples in this formational community. He also sent them out. And he did this long before his post-resurrection charge known as the Great Commission. Jesus doesn't wait until his followers are perfectly formed to send them out to bear witness to the good news and heal the sick. We see throughout the Gospels this constant movement back and forth between when Jesus spends time in formation with his disciples and when they engage in witness. Jesus continues to tend to their spiritual practices, giving them teaching, paying attention to how they treat one another. Formation and witness continue simultaneously in the disciples' experience, like the Mobius Strip. It is also significant that Jesus forms his disciples as a community. Jesus' teachings, echoed by Paul in Romans 12, are not easy to follow, especially the command to do good to your enemies. This doesn't come naturally to many of us, I think. I know it's certainly not my first reaction when I feel I've been wronged. We need a community in which we are continually formed to follow Christ's difficult teachings to be able to bear this kind of radical witness. We need a community in which we can constantly cultivate the renewal of our minds, where we can discern God's will that is found in not being conformed to the world. I believe it's absolutely crucial that we pay attention carefully to both witness and formation within our Christian communities, within the church. Both formation and witness can happen whether or not we are even aware of it, or whether we even intend it. A recent event in the news has caused me to think a lot about this. Perhaps some of you saw the video footage of this encounter on January 18th at the Lincoln Memorial between boys from the Covington Catholic High School, attendees of the Indigenous People's March, and not pictured here, the Black Hebrew Israelites. It's the witness of the Covington students that continues to trouble me. I've been wondering what kind of religious formation these students received that would lead them to bear the kind of witness that they did. They came to the March for Life wearing Make America Great Again hats, which have come to represent the white supremacist platform of our current president. And when they encountered people whom this ideology would consider to be enemies, namely the Black Hebrew Israelites and the Indigenous peoples, they responded with aggression and disrespect, according to eyewitnesses. Nathan Phillips, pictured on the left of this picture, the Indigenous elder who intervened in an attempt to create peace, reported that he did this because he was afraid the students were about to erupt in violent action. And I wonder, what kind of religious formation could cause or allow these students to act in the way they did? While the Indigenous marchers were able to intervene in the conflict with a song that Philip said was his prayer for peace. The ways these religious groups acted and interacted in public reveals their deepest commitments and their religious formation, whether they meant it to or not. Formation within a community impacts the way outsiders are treated, and it shapes a community's witness. Now, Covington Catholic High School issued a statement condemning the actions of its students. I believe that school community has a lot of work to do to right the wrongs that have been done. But the potential is there for them to work toward greater missional integrity because of what they discovered in this witness of their students. In this case, I hope a failed witness leads to better formation and transformation in their community and in our world. The sad reality is that some religious communities form people with suspicion, hatred, or fear of their enemies. This is absolutely contrary to what Paul and Jesus taught. This reminds me of something that liberationist educator Bell Hooks writes when she describes her experience teaching at a Methodist college. She says most students came from homes where religious teachings had encouraged them to fear difference. In her book, Teaching Community, Hooks describes how she tries to cultivate a community of love in the classroom, reforming students to engage diversity in positive ways. In this way, Hooks seeks to form her students by teaching them to respect each other within the classroom first, so that they will be able to bear witness to this kind of love when encountering strangers and difference. When there is fear of difference, when there is discord and strife within the Christian community, the church's witness is tainted. This is why Paul always circles back to formation in his letters to the early churches. He recognizes that all formation is formation for witness, because our lives are already and always a witness to what we hold most dear and how we have been formed. As Jesus says, "By their fruits you will know them." I invite you to trace your finger once more along this Mobius strip and to think about this question. In what ways is your faith community cultivating integrity between formation and witness? And how are you integrating these in your own life? As we join what God is doing in the world, I pray that we will better tend to God's desires to form us and to witness to the good news of God's reign. May we work toward greater integrity, being the church on the Mobius Strip. Will you join me in prayer on the back of your order of service? I will read the leader part, and you can read the part in bold that says people. O God, we invite your transformation. So that in our intellectual endeavors, we might not separate what you intended to be one. So that no matter whom we meet, we can demonstrate your love and honor the dignity of all people. So that in the midst of struggle, we can rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. So that as we meet injustice, we can work toward peace, overcoming evil with good. So that in our life together and in our witness, we will embody your way in this world. Amen.
As we go to close this time together, bless you, Sarah, for the gifts that you have just offered and the paradigm with which to live into. I simply invite you to pick up your Mobius strip again. As you run your fingers over it, looking at it, thinking about what you heard, what was evoked within you, what you want to carry out of here and engage with. Just hear these words. Spirit of Christ, living the Mobius strip of life with integrity, with integrated living, let our being, our saying, our doing be in collaboration, a collaborative movement with you and with each other, transforming our formation as we extend hospitality, as we contribute to the needs of others, strangers, as our formation and our witness draw near to who you are in your image within us because of your exuberant love. So as you go in that grace, grow in that awareness. Let the formative witness engage you and life around you because of Jesus Christ. And so go in that peace. Amen.